a lot of them will come with interesting ideas and say, hey, we want to try, you know, launching something like this. We've heard about generative. We think it's really cool. We want to try this, but they don't have a generative artist. And so something that we're working on more and more is trying to provide those opportunities to our own artists.
Welcome to CryptoSlam Clubhouse, brought to you by CryptoSlam.io, the multi-chain NFT and digital collectible data aggregator, collecting data since 2018. Hey all, welcome to episode 9 of CryptoSlam Clubhouse. On today's Clubhouse, we invite the ArtBlocks team to come on and talk about their new ArtBlocks engine. So first, we'll start off with the upcoming drops with Justin. We'll get into the news of the week with Huda, and then we talk with Cooper from the ArtBlocks team about the ArtBlocks engine and just some of the new trends and predictions that he has for generative art in the space. Thank you for joining and enjoy the show.
All right, Crypto Slam Clubhouse fam, in honor of today's guest, we'll be highlighting some of the hottest upcoming drops in the generative art space. So first, we have Thoughts of Metal by Eric Davidson, which is scheduled to drop on September 28th for a fixed price of 0.3 ETH. This collection displays a generative system which distorts a chess-like grid into complex shapes, and 25% of the proceeds will be donated to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Next, we have Rectangles for Herbert by Jeff Davis, which is scheduled to drop on October 7th for a fixed price of 0.1 ETH. This collection is a tribute to Herbert W. Franke, who was commonly known as the forefather of computer art. Herbert spent his entire career bridging the worlds of art and science, so in his honor, all artist proceeds from minting will be directed to the Art Meets Science Foundation to support the preservation of Herbert's legacy. Make sure you join our newsletter, NFTs on Deck, to stay updated on the hottest upcoming drops in the NFT industry.
If you still thought NFTs had peaked, think again. Disney is quickly building for the future we all know is coming, and their latest job hiring post tells us all we need to know about their thoughts on the matter. Following Disney's recent comments about building a metaverse, the iconic entertainment company is now looking to hire a corporate lawyer for all things NFT, crypto, and DeFi. It may be a small world after all, but the metaverse is shaping up to be massive, with Disney leading the charge. It may be crypto winter, but that's not stopping some of the biggest names in entertainment from bringing the heat. BTS, Christina Aguilera, and the New England Patriots are just some of the world's most recognizable names that are looking to make their debut in Web3, and one is even putting their money where their mouth is. The New England Patriots are now the first team in the NFL to have an official ENS, as their new Web3 partner called Chain purchased Patriots.eth for $99,000. Their plans are to use Patriots.eth and the blockchain tech to create innovative Web3 experiences in person at Gillette Stadium. Web3 mass adoption is coming, and it's coming fast. Coinbase has announced plans to hand out those convenient little ENS addresses to all Coinbase users, simplifying the process to send and receive cryptocurrencies. The latest announcement shows us just how useful and powerful ENS is shaping up to be, as users will have their own unique username that functions as their wallet address, and much more. Apple is officially allowing apps that sell NFTs onto their app store, making this new announcement one of their very first official stances on NFTs. Though some see Apple's 30% transaction fee as a major roadblock, others are focusing on the key takeaway here, which is mass adoption is coming. It's yet to be seen if Apple will get into the NFT game themselves, but with their first VR headset coming in 2023, I'd say digital ownership in the Apple ecosystem is a bet I'd be willing to take. China's Nanjing University of Information Science and Technology has renamed its 25-year-old information engineering department to the Metaverse Engineering Department. The university says it's the first in China to offer a metaverse major, but it surely won't be the last. Universities across the world are beginning to experiment with NFTs, and some like MIT were forward-thinking enough to be handing out NFT diplomas way back in 2017. That's smart. So that's the news this week. Come back to Crypto Slam Clubhouse again next week for a fresh dose of the weekly stories that matter the most.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 9, I think it is now. Guys, I'm going to have to stop counting or stop, you know, have a prompt to remember how many episodes soon. But happy to have ArtBlocks on the show today. Cooper Temple from the ArtBlocks team is here. He's the lead of the business development team. Huda has been asking Cooper some questions, but maybe we can let Cooper introduce himself first and we can get into the meat of the interview. Thanks for joining us, Cooper.
Sure, yeah, happy to be here. So like you said, I'm Cooper and I lead the business development team at ArtBlocks. And the main thing that we've been focusing on lately is ArtBlocks Engine. So we just, about a month ago, publicly announced that we were launching with ArtBlocks Engine. And what that is our kind of brand partnerships and corporate partnerships and Web3 partnerships wing of ArtBlocks, where we're taking the same tech that powers the main ArtBlocks site with all the great generative artists on there, and essentially white labeling it for partners who want to launch their own generative projects.
Interesting. So you work with individuals and groups and companies, so it can be scaled up and down, I guess, to that level?
Yeah, exactly. Mostly larger groups, I would say. And we're really trying to focus, more on premier partnerships and kind of large art forward places, rather than just kind of licensing it as a technology service. Really trying to help places enter the space in the right way. Ones that are still aligned with, kind of the ArtBlocks ethos or are using our tech in novel and interesting ways. But we also have some artists who kind of want to launch their own collections, their own kind of branded site, where they can be, maybe a little bit more experimental, or launch series that are lower in edition size, or try new processes that don't really work on the ArtBlocks site. So we have a few individuals as well, yeah.
So this kind of lets them take the ArtBlocks engine and like decentralize it from your site. Now on their own site, they can mint their own projects and get really creative with really what they can do. And it's not actually on the ArtBlocks site.
Yeah, exactly. So the way it works is we create a new smart contract for whether it's the artist or a partner, a brand, whoever, and they'll eventually own that smart contract. So they'll have free reign over how often they release, the price points, kind of the style of release, the style of project. So there's a high degree of autonomy, but it's kind of backed in the back end by all the things that power ArtBlocks. So the same, all the same connectivity within the smart contract, the renderer, kind of the artist staging site. And so, yeah, for artists, it can be something where they have that level of autonomy to have their own smart contract, and it's separate from the ArtBlocks site, but still sort of that stamp of approval from ArtBlocks Engine that showcases that it's that same kind of high quality technical asset. And then with brands and companies, another kind of piece that's involved there, a lot of them will come with interesting ideas and say, hey, we want to try, launching something like this. We've heard about generative, we think it's really cool, we want to try this, but they don't have a generative artist. And so something that we're working on more and more is trying to provide those opportunities to our own artists and kind of build a cohort of people who have interest in commissions and partnerships and that type of work, and making that introduction and those connections as well.
So that sounds like you have a bunch of artists that are within your network, and you can have these artists be for hire in a sense for an organization looking to create generative art.
Yeah, so I mean, all the artists are independent contractors from us, and so they can, they're completely free to work wherever they want, whenever they want. Just because they're in the network of ArtBlocks artists, it's kind of an additional benefit that will, offer up these kind of collaborations as a request for proposal or something where the artists can pitch themselves and take on branded work elsewhere.
I would think that would be one of the most rarest skill set in the industry, like artists who can code. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I think that's why so many places come to us wanting to connect with an artist, because, you know, I'm not sure exactly how many we have now, but it's well over 100 artists, maybe even closing in on 200. You know, we obviously kind of have that whole network in our wheelhouse. And so it's definitely a rare skill, because until, you know, the last couple of years, generative art hasn't been in the mainstream. It's been around since, you know, the 50s and 60s, but it's not something that a ton of people have, you know, taken on as a medium. So it's definitely growing, but yeah, there's a limited supply. So it's absolutely a rare skill.
The artists that are in your network, are they all still sort of creating art on the engine itself by themselves, or does that still have to go through your sort of curation process, like with the curated collection and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a good question. There isn't any curation for what partner projects do. You know, I mean, if there was something that was like clearly against some sort of art block standards, I think we would, you know, ask a partner not to launch it. But generally, partners can kind of launch, they have a lot of autonomy over what they release. And so for artists looking to experiment, that's kind of a great way for them to launch low edition size collections, you know, give things away for free if they wanted to, do one of ones and, you know, give those to collectors, and without kind of that curation barrier. And same with partners, you know, something that is branded with sort of a, you know, a partner, you know, colorway or logo or something like that, obviously wouldn't be something that we would have on the kind of fine art gallery side of our blocks. But it's something that can definitely be released through Engine. And so we try to curate our partners before signing with them, essentially. You know, we really want to only partner with, to give you a couple examples, like premier fashion brands, kind of a luxury fashion brand that we're talking to, sports leagues, like I mentioned, who want to do interesting things with data and visualization and generative art in that way. You know, kind of museums, luxury makeup brands, bespoke kind of generative manufacturing, interior design, these types of places. And so we usually try to screen partners at that outset level so that we can, you know, be sure that the art that's being produced is of a really high quality.
What's the business model for this, Cooper?
Yeah, so it's similar to the Art Blocks site. It's all royalty based. So our standard is a 10% royalty on primary sales and then 2.5% on secondary. It changes a little. We partner with some charities. Endowment is one, which is kind of a Web3 native charitable organization. And so we'll have, you know, reduced fees for those. But it's pretty simple and no kind of ongoing service costs. So it's kind of another incentive for us to find partners that we really believe will make something that's exciting and worth collecting.
So Cooper, you guys have so far, and I'm going to miss a couple, maybe like official contract names, but you have Art Blocks yeah. Factory, you have Art Blocks Curated. Is this a new like pillar, and are there any examples? Have you, like, I guess, officially minted any of these yet with another, you know, organization, a business or a standalone, you know, artist?
Yeah. So you can think of the Factory and Curated, slightly separately, because those will be things that do go through our curation process. It's just the artist kind of releasing directly to their collectors, and all within kind of that main Art Block site ecosystem. And so this is almost like a third party type of setup, where partners will release all of these Art Blocks Engine projects on their own sites, their own third party sites. And there's some crossover, you know, we have kind of our Blocks Engine branding and some spaces in our Discord to talk about these projects and a separate Twitter account and We're working more and more to do sort of partner spotlights and case studies and, you know, bringing them closer into our ecosystem. We have I think 10 partners now. Probably the most well-known is Bright Moments. And they do kind of IRL minting in a bunch of cities around the world. They're doing 10 cities. I think they're on number 5 right now in Mexico City, where a lot of kind of our blocks artists will also release through them. And it's this kind of live in-gallery minting experience where you actually mint a piece and see it kind of render and generate on a screen, you know, while you're there. Others that we partner with, Flamingo DAO, Doodle Labs, Endowment, a company called Verse that's going to be doing a cool kind of machine learning type project. Plottables, which is kind of an IRL, you know, pen plotter type drawing instance. And so these are all kind of Web3 native, I would say, organizations. We have a number of kind of brand Web2 focused ones that are coming down the pipeline. I think one of the first will be a partnership with Samsung, where they'll be releasing a project. And then kind of like I mentioned, a couple of luxury fashion brands and a sports league that I can't say out loud yet, but are definitely in the pipeline that we're excited about.
Wow. Yeah, super cool. I love the educational aspect of that, of being able to mint it in a gallery, see how what the process looks like. Something that helped generative art click for me was getting my hands on, I can't remember the name of the app, but you know, over a year ago, I got my hand on some like application that you just put in a couple lines and I was just kind of putting squares on a page. And every time I would run it, change shapes, but they were, you know, still relative to each other. And it did a lot for me, you know, with my understanding. Sounds like there's maybe an opportunity for somebody to, you know, work with you guys using this engine program and maybe build even something for kids to learn. I mean, just, I think all kinds of things people are gonna be able to do now with this new, this new thing you're offering. It's very cool.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most exciting parts about the day-to-day of my role is just hearing about the number of different ideas and conceptions that people have. You know, we'll get pitched with all sorts of different kind of cool setups, and it's a process of figuring out like what will work and what's just sort of, you know, us dreaming about a future that doesn't exist yet. But the brainstorming piece is really exciting because there's always different ideas that come up and that, you know, you get to think through, oh, that could be really cool. We haven't thought about that. You know, how could we make this work? And I think that kind of bridging into the, you know, outside of just our online world is something that's important and something that we're really excited about as well. And so, you know, we've developed an app that's like a Minter API, and Bright Moments is using it. We're gonna have other people use it coming up in Basel, Miami, I think, where you could have just sort of like an iPad kiosk or a QR code, or you know, it could be a credit card swipe, something to call an API, which will do kind of a in-person mint through the app. And so you could have an open edition, you know, you can think of it as like in a gift shop of a museum, you could have it as, you know, part of an event. So it's definitely something we're thinking through and trying to iterate on that's already out in the wild. And then just kind of continuing to speak about that bridge to the physical side. We're talking with a lot of places that could help us work on things like generative manufacturing or sort of this bespoke kind of one of one of X concept that we have at ArtBlocks, where each piece is unique of, you know, a larger series, and apply that to physical items. So the fashion brand I mentioned wants to take kind of the digital pieces that artists will create and potentially create, you know, dresses or fabrics or bags, shoes with those. We're talking to a number of industrial designers who, you know, can help create like kind of interior design type products and want to partner with artists on that side. Pretty large manufacturing companies that are looking into this like bespoke one-of-one style of setup. And so there's a lot of interest, I think, in that customization creative side.
Well, definitely. I've seen that out in the community, people looking for some way to have a physical representation of this incredible art. You know, recently saw somebody that had even just these like aluminum cards that you could print out your art onto, or even wood laser carvings. Just small examples, but it shows people are hungry for that.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep starting one about that. I have a question though. It's really like a two-part, Cooper. So the first part is, how are you going about finding these different partners? I'm sure there's several early hand raisers. Are you all actively looking for different partners to partner with as well? Or are you just working through your email? And then the second part of the question is, how are you all onboarding different artists to work with in this network also?
Yeah, both really good questions. So yeah, the first is we're pretty much drowning on inbound inquiries right now. The week after we, or the, you know, the day after we launched publicly, Artblocks Engine, I think, you know, our email had like over 200 inquiries, and we had like 50 Twitter DMs or something. You know, it's insane. And not all of them are going to be viable types of partners. There's a lot that's just, you know, maybe a PFP iteration or something like that that is less interesting. But there were a lot of really cool inbound inquiries as well from places that would be really exciting to partner with. So yeah, almost all of it is inbound right now. I think it's kind of a combo of places in Web3 that know what Artblocks is and kind of want to partner in some way. And then honestly, a lot of the kind of art world connections that we have through people on our team or through Eric or Snowfro's connections as well, we get a lot of interest that way. But we're also partnering with, which I think is official, but I won't get too far into it just in case, but we're partnering with a pretty large kind of talent agency as well, likely this month. And that'll help, I think, a lot with bringing that connectivity and those connections as well. So we're still at a place where we're not trying to take on, you know, a ton of projects all at once. As we scale it, I think it's more about being somewhat selective of the places we partner with and you know, making sure that they're successful. And then the second part of your question, onboarding the artists, we have a cohort of, I think, about 50 people who have expressed just kind of general interest in partnerships and this type of commission type work. And right now we'll get these ideas from places coming to us and, you know, basically provide those artists with a creative brief. And those who are interested can sort of submit a draft proposal of some sort as sort of for their consideration. And then we go through a process of, you know, finalizing and selecting an artist and partnering them with our, you know, whoever the partner is that's looking to do the launch. So as of yet, we haven't needed to onboard new people because we have this huge and amazing and very talented network of artists. And more artists are sort of coming into the ecosystem every week, you know, through our factory and curated set up on the main site as well. So it hasn't been an issue yet, but it's definitely something that we're thinking about going forward, assuming that this continues to scale and this you know, area of the world continues to grow. We've talked a lot about kind of creator tools and ways to, you know, teach and sort of onboard new people who are interested in exploring the medium but don't really know where to start.
So I guess you must have like a lot of artists who are traditional artists but want to do generative work. Do you find a lot of that? And how do you educate them and teach them how to code?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've had a number of people who have released projects on our site who are not coders and who needed to partner with the creative coder who can kind of bring their vision to life. Jen Stark is one. She did a project called Vortex, and she's a by trade, you know, a sculptor and more of a traditional medium artist. And she does these really cool in-person sort of gallery setups where it's interactive things that are projected onto a wall. And so by a person being in that space, it'll be able to, you know, tell and adapt and stuff like that. And she worked with Rich Lord, I believe it was, to bring her kind of concept to life for an Art Blocks piece. Leo Villarreal is another who's sort of a physical sculptor and you know, light sculptor. He did an installation on the Bay Bridge here in San Francisco. And he worked with a creative coder as well to bring that vision to life. So in those types of instances, there's usually someone in the network, in the community, who's willing and able to kind of work with an artist and collaborate on something like that. Another good example is our Pace Gallery partnership. Pace is a pretty well-known contemporary art kind of global gallery. And we have them on our site as a collaboration, it's called. So it's kind of another distinction of that curated and factory side. And they they have like a huge network of more traditional artists. And I think they're working with a creative coding group of some sort that works with each of their artists and helps them bring projects to life. So there have been a couple of drops through the Pace section of our site as well. John Gerard, I think, was the most well-known one so far. He did Petro National. So there's kind of a system that works for now with all of that.
Very cool. Justin, do you have any additional questions here?
I was curious, like, so with those partners, I know you have a lot of hand raises and you mentioned, you know, obviously the cream kind of rises to the top. Have you noticed anything, like anything consistent within those that stand out outside of like the intangible?
Yeah, I think three things are probably coming to the surface in terms of like patterns. One is fashion. I think we've seen that that's something that is consistently popular and seems to stick. And we've had, you know, a lot of productive conversations in that realm. And I think it makes sense, right? Like there's that creative element to it. There's that self-expression element to it. A lot of the artists have interest in obviously their own digital mediums, but also the fashion side. And a lot of fashion brands are interested in sort of innovating and, you know, doing the next thing and kind of tapping into where the energy is. And so that's one that's been definitely exciting for us and also is able to bridge that sort of physical digital gap. Similarly, I was talking about generative manufacturing, and that's something that we've seen a lot of energy around as well, from something as simple as, you know, a pen plotter, which you can buy and connect and you know, plot things, you know, on your desk, all the way to sort of larger scale manufacturing, embroidery, physical items, digital printing, you know, kind of bespoke labels for, I don't know, like a liquor line. There's, you know, kind of all of these different areas where this stuff can come through and allows artists a new way to think and be inspired by kind of a different prompt, let's say. And, you know, also for places to tap into this sort of bespoke self-expression side of things. And then most recently, honestly, has been sports and sports leagues. It was something we knew we wanted to explore and just hadn't had conversations yet. But we're pretty far along with a release that should be coming out in November with one. And then kind of starting initial conversations with a couple of others that I think there can be really cool things there, because, you know, you can take data from games, matches, players, whatever, and the artists do an amazing job of taking that and visualizing it in really interesting ways. And it can be, you know, adaptive based on things that actually happen. It can be abstract or more realistic. There's so many different ways they can go with it. And I think it's a cool sort of bridge between that data sports side of things and the art side. And that's allowing artists to tap into a lot of different interests that they want to explore as well. And kind of on that, one last piece that I forgot to mention at the top is with Artblocks Engine, we've also kind of launched a companion thing for it called Artblocks Engine Flex, which, so on the main Artblocks site and through Engine, everything that you see produced is stored 100% on-chain, with typically one kind of off-chain library. It's usually P5.js that artists can use to create and write their generative scripts. With Flex, what we're allowing is for artists or partners to store off-chain assets on IPFS or Arweave, which are kind of these decentralized file storage protocols. IPFS is really popular in the NFT community as a place to store images. But what this will allow it to do is for artists to reference images or assets, bits of code, data sets that are stored off-chain, and kind of reference those in a generative script. And so what this allows is a lot more kind of flexibility for the types of collaborations and projects that you can release while still having the main code be stored fully on chain. And so I think we'll see a lot more kind of collaborations with photographers. One partner is releasing a machine learning project with some external assets stored there. The data sets for sports leagues, maybe like heritage assets for fashion companies. It kind of broadens the scope of what generative artists can produce. So that was a long-winded answer to your question, but.
No, I appreciate it. So on the show, we also like to get into like our own trends and predictions. I think you have a very interesting vantage point when it comes to NFT art in general. So I gotta ask, do you have any trends or any predictions that you see regarding the generative art scene in the next like 2 to 5 years? What do you think?
Yeah, it's all going to zero. No, I'm just kidding. I would hope not. Kind of, bet a career on it here. So, I was saying this the other day as well. I think the really exciting part about the last couple of months as we've launched this, during a pretty severe kind of market downturn, has been the level of sustained interest that there's been from pretty large, and well-known groups that want to, still want to partner, still want to explore the space, are already kind of tapping into Web3 in different ways. And, I kind of thought that a lot of that would dry up once the hype started dying down. So it's been really exciting and encouraging to see that there's still energy around it. There's still places that are seeing this space and the art that's being produced as something that, is really innovative and something that they want to tap into and work with. And honestly, it's been a little bit more manageable, I think, because where before you get a lot of places that really are just trying to tap into the hype and don't really have sort of a longer term vision or even really like, working understanding of how a lot of this stuff works. So you end up having to do a lot of educating and a lot of sort of handholding, and all of that's completely fine if there's, sort of a long-term vision in place. But what I think you see when the market enters a downturn and the hype kind of dies off is a lot of those places that were just trying to capitalize on that, they also sort of disappear. And so, my fear was that would be the majority of places and we would just sort of see this sustained period of like silence. But it hasn't been the case at all. And there's been, like I said, a ton of inbound interest that came from us announcing, and there's still artists releasing on Artblocks every week that are doing well. And so I think it's a lot more manageable level of growth and interest. And so I think that's really, really allowing us to have just more breathing room to kind of build this out and explore new ideas you know, more carefully and more thoughtfully. So specific to your question, you know, I think it'll continue to grow. I think we're just kind of at the precipice of what this next kind of wave of art is. And I think from my, you know, side of the company, this kind of sustained interest from large Web2 companies in partnering with us is making me really optimistic. And then, you know, on the main art side, things like the Pace Gallery partnership, things like MoMA a couple of weeks ago, selling Picassos and you know, other very famous artworks with the goal of buying digital pieces. Those are all signals, I think, that this is a movement that's here to stay. And I think, you know, ArtBlocks will have a large hand in continuing to push it forward and explore new frontiers with what the tech can do and what the artists can do, and you know, continue to kind of push it to new heights.
Are you guys competing with the Tezos chain for the art community?
No, not really. It's a very different, things like FX Hash are kind of a very different model to us, where FX Hash is much more of kind of an open platform. It's a lot just different kind of style of release, where ours is a little bit more of a long process for releasing art, with an application process and kind of multiple stages. So a lot of our artists have actually released on Tezos and FX Hash as well. And that's something that, you know, we encourage. You know, there's no shortage of you know, really cool art out there, and we want them to obviously keep producing it. So I don't think we really see them as a competitor, more of just kind of a companion piece. And I think a lot of the places in the generative art space, it's the whole industry is just so nascent and so new that, you know, I see a lot of it as much more collaborative and sort of with the same goal of advancing the space than I see them as adversaries.
Cool. Thanks for answering that. Do you guys have any NFT collection planned, like a 1,000 1K collection or anything like that, where people can be on the insider of the ArtBlocks team, anything like that planned?
You mean for like releasing to our collectors and our community?
Yeah, like a membership and access.
Yeah, there's a few ideas in the works that I probably shouldn't say too much about, but that will be made public in the coming months. I wouldn't say that it's like a membership token or anything necessarily. That's you know, we're very wary of trying to kind of pump up collections artificially or you know, create value where there isn't, and trying to, you know, keep it about the art. But yeah, there's definitely a number of ideas that are kind of in development for different ways that we're going to start, you know, trying to help reward our community and you know, make collecting even a better experience than it is already, and yeah, release things that will be I think hopefully really exciting for people who own an ArtBlocks piece.
I feel like, you know, Crypto Slam has grown alongside you guys. I know Eric and Randy have a connection there, the two CEOs. I believe Randy said Eric actually gifted him a Chromie Squiggle. So that's a kind of cool story behind our brands here. But yeah, I remember when Singularities and Chromie Squiggles were like 0.3 ETH and stuff. And I was like, man, this stuff is so cool. And yeah, it's just awesome to see the brand grow. And I don't know when you joined the team specifically, Cooper, but that was a crazy time that was happening back then, don't you think?
Yeah, it was wild. I joined last October, so just about a year ago, coming up on it. But I'd been collecting ArtBlocks for basically 9 or 10 months before that. And
nice.
A Chromie Squiggle was one of my first, I think it was my first ever NFT that I bought for like 0.3 ETH. And I think that was the most I'd ever spent on a piece of art in my life at that point. You know, it was like $500 or something like that. And at the time I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is just, you know, a squiggle on the internet, but what it represents and kind of what it's grown into, I think, has been really pretty amazing to watch unfold.
Yeah. as you can tell, I'm a fan of Jeff Davis's color study collection.
So. Yeah, I see that back there. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm always on the lookout for good ones too. So, well, it was amazing to have you on. Where can we learn more about ArtBlox Engine?
Sure. Yeah. So we're building a website that's going to have a lot more. It's an ArtBlox overall kind of info site, because our main one right now is mostly focused on minting, and we want a place to have more kind of editorial content. So that'll be coming out in about a month or two. Until then, the ArtBlox Engine Twitter is probably the best place, or our main kind of ArtBlox site. And so that's just ArtBlox Engine on Twitter. And yeah, for places that are interested in exploring partnerships with us, you can DM us on Twitter. You can send an email to info@artblox.io. You can find me and DM me. There's a lot of ways. So yeah, it's definitely something we're excited to keep building out. And hopefully you'll see a lot of cool releases coming up through Engine in the next 6 months or so.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. It was a blast to talk to you. And definitely come back on when you guys have like another amazing, huge partnership. And I'm sure Huda will be saying it in the news segment one day.
Perfect. Sounds great. Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome. Bye.
CryptoSlam has some of the most comprehensive data in the NFT industry. Contact us today to find out more about our free and enterprise API. Thanks again for tuning in.